This is RSBNB Update, episode 417, recorded Saturday, June 15th, 2013, A Collection of Treasure. Hello, everybody, and welcome to RSBNB Update. Thank you for sharing your time with us once again this week. This week marks the start of our 8th year of RSBNB Update. So as a result, we are doing a live show. Not only are we doing one live show, we're doing two live shows. This is the second live show we did today. for the reason of a very... bad technical flop that's only happened once before in RSBNB Update history, I forgot to record one channel, so it was me doing a monologue that was an hour and a half long, which is great, but it's not that interesting without interaction. So, here we are once again. Let us begin with this week's RS Update, the Triskelion Treasures. So, Triskelion Treasures. You can think of this as a souped-up crystal key. Basically, you'll run around RS and you'll get some of these Triskelion keys by doing various tasks. So, for example, killing monsters which require level 80 plus Slayer, getting drops from a rare drop table, smithing mithril or rune, ceremonial swords in the artisan's workshop with a score of 80%, harvesting a wishing well fruit, pickpocketing elves and dwarf traders, dropping evil trees, or hunting kingly implings. So those are just some of the various ways that you can get some of these Triskelion pieces. They are pretty rare. I've done a couple of them this week, and I was not able to get any of these pieces, unfortunately. Were you able to get any of these?
I had no luck whatsoever. I was slaying the whole time, the whole week, but no luck.
All right. And they were level 80 plus creatures? Hopefully.
Yeah, there are dust devils and grot worms, funny enough.
Dust devils are not 80 plus Slayer required.
Oh, right. I'm thinking up their combat, up their level. Okay, never mind. Okay.
All right. So, also... Okay, Lord Rickles in chat says he did mithril ceremonial swords and didn't get any either. Okay.
I think doing ceremonial swords is stupid, well, very bad, because it's very tedious just to make one.
Yeah. So those are the ways you can get them. And once you get all three, you combine them into a key, and then you loot the chest. The chest always gives you 5 uncut dragon stones, so that's always nice. Seeing more dragon stones coming into the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Other possibilities are elite clue scrolls, ancient effigies, seeds, resources like more gems, or charms. You can get 100 crimson charms in a go, or 80 blue charms. Then at the higher level of the drop table is that you can get either a dragon pickaxe or a dragon hatchet. And as we all know, dragon pickaxes are about 8.4 million each, so that is rather expensive. So it would be nice to get one of those. Also, dragon hatchets, those might be disappearing in commonality because, as it said in the behind-the-scenes update, they said this is going to be the only place you can pick these up.
Yeah, so that's an issue that we were complaining about, where the Chaos Dwarves no longer drop the pickaxe, and the Dragonknife Kings no longer drop the hatchet. We believe that's going to drive the price up, because it's hard to get any of these pieces.
And, you know, it doesn't really make sense that they would do that, because with that, it is, what would be the point of hunting Dagonoth Kings? And Brian in chat says maybe it means it's the only place you can pick up both items.
No, I don't think so. I don't think there'll be that great of a reward to give you both items at one go. That's OP, man.
Yeah, and I don't know. Like, that'd be about 12 million, so.
That's the source. It will be a source of both items. It's supposed to, the new treasures are supposed to be how you get dragon hatchets and what? What the
The
hell?
dragon pickaxe.
Maybe a level 70
Yeah.
skill tools from the deck. Okay.
You know, maybe Brian is right in this, because they did say that it was keyword being both, and it wouldn't make sense to remove these existing drops. So maybe that's right, but we'll just have to wait and see what happens with these, because, like I said, Dagonoth Kings. What would be the point of hunting Dagonoth Kings if you weren't getting them, right? So, yeah. All right. Also with that, from this is the Dragonstone armor, which is a level 50 piece of hybrid armor. And you know, as hybrid armor goes, it has no weaknesses to a specific combat type, but it suffers greatly in the amount of defense it offers. No, you don't craft it. You
No,
actually get it from the piece.
the Dragonstone armor you actually get from the crystal chest, which you open with the crystal key in Taverly. So you have a chance of getting one of the regular the stuff sucks, or you have a chance of getting one of these items. The armor I
Yeah.
think looks really nice. My only concern is it looks like you've been shot with a needle gun from Halo, and you just look like you have stuff sticking out of you.
Yeah, that's true. So,
Yeah, but
you
oh,
know,
but you're
level
so
50,
purple.
and it can be used in free to play. So, you know, over time, these prices have to come down. Because 20 million for a free to play piece of armor is rather outrageous, if I do say so myself.
Oh, this is free to play? How are they gonna get it? From members?
Through the exchange.
Yeah, from members. Okay.
Yep.
So, but then also means there's always be a market for free to play because this is the
Exactly.
only way to get it.
So, if enough of these come out, prices will inevitably go down.
How many crystal
And
keys do I have? Let's see.
I don't know. But you could get very rich if you manage to pull one of these pieces. I mean, they're all going for 5 million each. And yeah, free to play equivalent to third age armor.
Yeah,
So.
so I have enough halves to open about 30 chests.
Well, do it and see what you get.
Should I do it
Yes.
now?
No,
Okay,
not right now, but eventually.
Lord Rickles, I will do it if you say it like Arnold Schwarzenegger over Mumble.
We can't do that. Remember? We don't have that ability at doing this one.
I know, but I wanted to.
All right. Okay. So, where were we with this? I really don't think there's much else to say pertaining to this, aside from that it's a level 50 piece of armor, which really, for the vast majority of people out there, isn't going to be very useful. It just looks nice.
Yeah, I think it's nice. It's supposed to be a hybrid armor, so it's not supposed to be good in anything. It's supposed to
Yep.
be a balance for those who wants to use range and magic.
Yeah, that's
Know what I
right.
mean?
Yep.
It's kind of like, it's a suit of armor that's not great at one particular thing. It's decent at many other things put together. So you're not specializing in a specific role. You're kind of saying that I want to be good at both. I'm not great at both at either one, but I'm good in
Yep.
both, which could
And
be useful. And
that's
with free
specifically
to
what hybrid armors are.
even think about it, with free to play, the best armor is really for a long time it has been rune armor. What's it, Green Dragonhide?
Yep.
And that's pretty much it. They never had any magic armor, so I see this as being their replacement magic.
Okay. Yeah, because it's level 50, so it's going to give better boosts than well, no, they got the Batwing stuff with EOC and whatnot.
But they don't. But don't. What armor do they have for
Well,
magic?
there's Batwing like robes and whatnot. You can use the Batwing hide.
Oh yeah. Oh, there was a Batwing hide. I didn't know that.
Yep. Yeah, imps and spiders as well. So,
Yeah, but they're pretty low, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. But, I mean, it's better than nothing, right? I think Batwing is actually level 50. Yeah, the Batwand. Batwand is 50 magic. So, yeah, that would be the magical equivalent of it. So, Batwing Torso gives 195 armor and 1200 life point boost, whereas the Dragonstone Torso, or Hauberk as it's called, give 123 and 840. So you can see the difference there. 123 versus 195. So, I mean, it gives free to play more of a choice, which is good, because free to play should be able to play the game just like everyone else.
Yeah, so this is
All
a good
right.
update.
Yeah, for free to play, I think. I'm done with this. Do you want to move on to the tweaks and fixes?
So let me see anything else here. Well, they did also remember they did also make some changes to how abilities work. So we do have the Wilderness Warband has undergone some changes. New items looted from Warband camp are now dropped on death and can be picked up by PKers. Players can
Yay!
still only acquire 75 per day. I think that's what it says. Let's see now.
You
And
also lose
each
the
can.
warband. You also lose any items you have if you any warband items you currently hold if you try and log into the wilderness.
Warband servers are now synchronized, so across all worlds, with one starting every
Yes.
7 hours. So does
Yes.
this mean like every 7 hours there's a server that starts it, or?
No, it means on every server, every 7 hours it starts. This is excellent because when this update first came out, I wasn't even able to find a server where there was a warband going on to check it out. So this is a much needed update.
Let's see. AoE spells have had a nerf. Big
And
nerf.
when you think about it, that's expected. Because you have your main target, then anything else, you can think of it as just being in the immediate area and kind of like a shockwave dissipating as you go out. It's like in Star Trek Online, if I use a scatter volley, the main target is going to get destroyed, but the other ones are going to take less damage.
I think one of the main issues with this one that I have is the fact that AoE spells aren't very effective. The only decently good AoE spell attacks are from the two-hander weapons, and their range is very limited. Ranging, they're not really designed for AoE, they're really designed for pinning a specific target. Magic is really the one that has a little bit more area effect spells, but the problem is something with like Tsunami, the range of that is really bad.
Yeah.
You're taught to fight from a distance, and you're kind of expecting them to be right next to you in order to use that ability effectively. And even then, it's not even guaranteed a hit because of the mechanics. So I kind of feel AoE, it's not as powerful and useful as it could be. And Brian earlier was mentioning how you can use it in Dagonath. Well, the problem is with Dagonath in the Lighthouse, they're supposed to be weak against slash. The only weapon that does slash are either long swords or god swords. Interestingly enough, god swords are considered slashing weapons, and that's really the only way of, I guess you could say, killing them faster than normal if you use slash. And again, they are mostly ranged monsters, so you can't really bunch them all up at once.
Yeah. All right. But I think it makes sense that they do slightly less damage. I mean, granted AoE is still not the best way to go, but it's better than nothing. Also with this, blood spells now heal 5% against the main like they did before, and 3% against other targets. Now, that is once again expected and still good healing. And same goes for the soul split change, 10 and 5. So, I mean,
Yay.
even if you need these anymore, I don't know, like, I find that I don't need Soul Split as much as I used to need it, so I think this is fine.
Okay.
Also, Commander Zilyana has undergone some changes for this and will become enraged if constantly attacked with blood spells. Also, a bug with Commander Zilyana not using configured magical strength, and the defensive values and weaknesses for her have also been adjusted.
Okay.
Moving on to the patch notes, anything in here you want to mention?
In the patch notes, nothing on the top of my head. Let me take a look. Zoom! Let's see, loading up. Saradomin swords no longer display as Saradomin god swords. I didn't know that was a problem, but
that's
guess
a funny one.
I don't know. Never bothered. Let's see. Caves no own. Female trolls from the frequent isle quest now hit for less damage. I didn't know there were female trolls.
There's
Did
lots
you?
Of female trolls on the internet.
But I've never seen any female trolls on RS with lipstick. Oh. Again. Troll romance. Yeah, but they're, you know, hairy trolls. You would mistaken them for male trolls unless you took the, you know, bop on the head.
All right.
Sun creation rewards interface have now been correct. Has the correct wear requirements listed. Sorry.
Oh, that's good.
And nothing else jumps out. Debug message that was occurring when using Pylor's special move been removed. Okay, nothing specific.
All right.
Nothing interesting, I should say.
With that being said, we'll move on to the RS3 Q&A where they answered some RS3 based questions. There's a couple of them that were interesting in here. The first thing that they really, really wanted to underscore from everyone is that your account won't be reset when RS3 comes out. That was a big issue. Another thing pertained to timelines, in that Divination will come out a little bit after RS3. So I think in Take One we said we're thinking August for Divination probably.
Yeah, I believe that probably mid-August is when they may release a skill. I think they're doing it so that people who's been treasure hunting all throughout the summer getting the stuff, but also when it's time for you to get back to school, they try to keep you away from school because they wanted you to play the game. Think about it, Shane.
Yeah, that'd be logical.
Mm-hmm. Keep you at home.
Another thing they mentioned, the Elf Quest finally got some discussion here. They
quest?
Said the Elf
really?
Quest is
really?
A possibility for 2014.
Maybe someone finally listened to the show and realized how much I want to. Oh, Shane, I'm happy they listened to me for once.
Yep. I mean, that is a quest we've been waiting for so long. So
yes. I'm still waiting for my Wookiee.
Oh dear God.
Yes, my son.
Oh.
Inside joke. Okay.
Oh, all right. So, watch this video if you want to get some more info on that. Link in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com. Also this week, a Squeal of Fortune update, the Lamp of the Dijon. This is a lamp that has 5 variants, and each one has 3 pieces to it, the pot, the handle, and the spout. So effectively what you need to do is you need to land 15 pieces, all different from Squeal of Fortune. You can get them from the 14th to the 24th. I actually got one of these pieces yesterday.
You did? Cool.
Yeah, I did. In one of the 3 spins I got. So now is the time for people to be purchasing spins if they want to do that, or just do the extra challenges in-game to get the extra spins, because this is time when spins actually matter. Because these things are very powerful in that each one targets a certain subset of skills. And then when you choose one of these skills in the subset, you get more XP in that skill and a minor amount to the other ones. So the five variants are Gull, Ifrit, Merid, Scylla, and Vital. For example, the Vital one gives to agility, crafting, fletching, ranged, and smithing. So that would be the one I'd go for. Then if you get all five lamps and combine it with a bottled genie that you also get on the squeal wheel, you get the full lamp, which gives a healthy dose of XP in all 25 skills. And there's also a chance to win the completed lamp.
Well, Robin Williams voiced the genie. No.
Where does that come from?
Aladdin.
Oh, I never saw that movie.
We know. Well, Shane, you want to know the good news? I got good news and bad news about this one.
Yeah, let's go for good news first.
The good news is I got a ton of them on Squeal of Fortune.
Oh, good.
I did. You want to know the bad news?
Yes.
I didn't know what the hell they were, so I just sold them off the bat. I was like, oh, well, it's okay. I didn't know what they were like. I thought they were another stupid cosmetic item. I was like, ugh. I was like, a lamp? What? Lamp? I'm thinking, like, in my head, lampshades. And I was like, ugh, forget it.
All right. I think we can move on from that. So you got 10 days to get all the pieces you need. Definitely doable through challenges and whatnot. Moving on to the community roundup now. Players Mods are celebrating their 9th anniversary. This was yesterday. They had their little event. But there's also events taking place on the 15th and 16th. 16th for those of you guys listening to that. So congratulations to all the PMods who have been with them for the full 9 years. I know 9 years puts it into 2004, a couple months after RS2 came out.
Yeah, as RS2 was released in March 2004. I was playing. I'm older than the PMods who were playing.
Yep.
I was playing. I was playing back in 02, 03, 02.
And also in the community roundup, we got a video from His Lordship, a RuneScape workout. He's from the Wilderness Gardens, and it's apparently an easy-to-remember routine. This workout can be done at home with participants listening through headphones or speakers. Information is presented on screen that can make the workout easier or harder. This instructor is not a professional.
You know what? I think more of the thing that just having kids be more active.
Ten to go.
All right, so there's a bit of a preview of it. It's a 26-minute long video. So if you're interested in doing something like that, you can find it in the community roundup. Definitely lots of interesting things here. And you know, that is kind of needed for the RS community. Because it is a computer game, and people who play computer games initially, evidently, what? Sometimes do need to go outside.
Yeah, but I don't see the ones who are playing RS will actually be going outside. What you should really do is think of ways to exercise while you're sitting playing and fighting monsters in the game. That will be a moneymaker for me. For me, I usually, while playing RS, I catch up on my soaps.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes. All my soaps.
All right. Also some fan art. Somebody says, keep calm and play RuneScape. It's a picture featuring one of those World War II style keep calm and carry on posters. So definitely interesting things in the community roundup. And Rickle says, any suggestions for Deathside workouts? You know, you can speak this, right?
What's
your suggestion?
So, Laura Rickles was asking, were there any suggestions for workouts, mini workouts, like stretches while you're playing RS? There are a couple. One of them is actually getting those resistant bands. You could actually use it to kind of, you know, stretch around your arms as you're sitting here waiting for the game to click through. Another good thing is most people kind of suggest is get those big giant exercise balls. You know, which
just make sure they don't pop.
Well, they shouldn't pop if you get a good one, but unless you're really big, then again, you got to be really big to pop one of those. But you can also use those because what's good about those is that since you don't have a way to lean back, you can actually use that to stretch your back every once in a while. That's a good little way.
Yeah, I can go with that because the other day I sneezed and I pulled something in my neck.
Yeah. But all right. Let's see. But one other little thing you could do, you know, kind of like you kind of think about those little stretches when you're on the airline, when you're in economy class, they have those little booklets that show you how what exercise to do to kind of stretch your legs and whatnot. Those are always good too on your desk.
All right. Now, moving on to the new interface page update to this. This is an update that I've waited for so long, and I thought this was coming, and has actually arrived now. Customizable keybinds for RS3.
Oh my god, it's so beautiful.
This is excellent. An example they give is you can use B to access your backpack, P for prayers or home teleport with T, and you can completely customize this to however you want it to be. So as an example of this, there's a keyboard shortcut for going to the next or previous action bar. So basically what you do is you could set up two keybinds, Q and W. Q to go back, W to go forward. So let's say you're doing something. You press 1, 2, and then you got to go forward. So it would be 1, 2, W, and then maybe you got something else on 6, so then you press 6. And then you press Q to go back, do a couple more. So this would be an effective way to jump between two action bars, effectively giving you 10 action bars all at once. So this is one of the reasons I'm very happy about it. The other reason is that if you do it right, you could potentially set up an interface that has nothing on the screen at the time except for chat and the world map, maybe. So this is something that I thought of doing when this came out, but it wasn't really possible because I didn't know if this was going to be available. So I'm very, very happy to see something like this.
Yes, we know how happy you are. Yes. I think it's nice. You can customize it. I don't know what to customize it to yet, but one thing I would really like to do, I wish it gave me more action bars so I could use a couple more.
Yep, that's right. All right.
Yeah.
Moving on from that, we got the BTS video for next week, which features the tool belt update. So what's going to be happening with this is you're going to be able to use your dragon hatchets and whatnot with your tool belt. Now, the only downside of this is that when you do this, it's going to eat your dragon hatchet, so you won't be able to get it back.
Yeah, so once you put it in, you will not get it back. And just as I'm having a little fitness chat here in the Mumble server, but kind of like the Dungeoneering, what you can do is that put in the most powerful one, like you put in the rune one, and into your tool belt, and it will actually level up with you as you level up. So if once you don't need to go, you know, buy an iron, then later on buy a steel, and then later on buy a meter, you just buy a rune one and just put it in your tool belt, and it will level up with you. So which is good.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's
what Dungeoneering does. Same thing for the pickaxe. I think the only issue is, you know, with I guess they won't get rid of the ability to get the dragon hatchet and pickaxe from the monster drops.
Well, no. Remember what we just discussed this time.
Yeah,
around.
Say
we
they won't.
Think
they won't.
That it's a source of both.
Mm-hmm. So, another source. So yeah. You know, I think depending on supply and demand, it could be good or bad. In theory, we should have less supply of it, but the demand should go down dramatically because a lot more people just keep it with them. You can't withdraw it anymore. Only thing I can say is if you're going to do it, think long and hard, because once you put it in, you can't get it back. B, you also have the problem of the gilded dragon pickaxes, because since most people who do the lava, I think it was the lava game, they end up getting their pickaxe gilded up. So I don't think they'll be able to put that one in their tool belt.
Yeah, I'd
lava flow
be willing to agree with that.
So it probably need a plain one, which kind of takes away from, you know, all the time and effort you spent getting in the first place.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll discuss more about this when it comes out. But anyways, we're going to move on to questions right now. The first question is from 101Duck1.
Hey there, guys. It's 101Duck1 here again with a follow-up question from last week's show. With Jagex's chief executives, specifically ModMark, stressing the magnitude of the upcoming world events, which will allegedly totally alter the gameplay based on purely player decision. And it seems as though, with the result of this, all players will eventually have at least somewhat divergent personal storylines. How do you think Jagex will be able to cope with so many increasingly different in-game storylines and bring them all together for things like quests? Thanks again for the show. Have a great week.
There's two ways of going about this, in my view, from a programming point. The first way is to have everything just purely be cosmetic. So, if you choose to follow a certain god or take a certain path, it would be cosmetic, and you would ultimately take this different path, and it would follow the same logic. It would just have different animations and different text to it. That's option one. Option two is to have truly different divergent paths in game. And now this would be hard because you gotta intertwine all of these together, and you're at the point where you're gonna be making quests instanced from other people and whatnot, which really isn't that big of a stretch because that's what happens now. So ultimately, you could have three instance paths. The good guys, the bad guys, and the guys who don't care. This is just hypothetical. And then from that, you could have different cosmetic choices in each one, and that would provide more choices as to which way you could go. But or they could have something completely different planned where you actually do end up having a true influence on what's going on, which would be the best way to go. And if they were able to pull something off, that'd be pretty amazing, because they haven't done anything like that since the Hero's Quest.
We should actually tie that back up again. We're part of different gangs, and yet we haven't done it ever since the Heroes thing.
Yeah.
We should be able to use our minions and level up in their ranks or something. Do an invasion of the Elven Islands, of the Elven mainland, and open the Crystal Gate.
Yeah, and when you think about it, it is, back in the day, that was a very big thing for them to be doing in the game. And it's good that we're finally getting back to that, I think. It's just going to be very interesting to see the way they go about it.
Mm-hmm. I do think this would just be more very cosmetic. Kind of like you remember when we were the whole ritual module Mirajarat quest line, we ended up killing a lot of people, a lot of NPCs. That had a lasting effect. So I think it may do something like this, like, oh, hey, the decisions you make will have an effect, minor effect later on down the line. You may have a group of heroes that came with you to do the quest, but so and so died. Then he's not there to help you where you get his apprentice who may not be as knowledgeable. On the other hand, and it's kind of like the Fire Maker's Curse, where the decisions you made during the quest kind of affected who would be with you in the circus. A couple of people will die and a couple of people live. You don't really know which one. So that's kind of my little thing is, I think if they do, they'll be very minor. The path to get to get there may be different, but the end result would, I would want to say, remain fairly remain the same. That makes sense.
Yeah, you know, I think that is okay. What will ultimately happen, but it would be great if we could see more than that. So.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, thank you, 101 Doc. One. Next one from Veteran says, "Hello, hosts." This is more directed at Trekkie, as he has 99 crafting. "I'm trying to get my crafting level up to make better armor when dungeoneering. At the moment, I'm making as many air battle staves as I can daily and crafting gold bracelets. What was the method that you used, or is there a better method that there wasn't back then? Hope you can help. V."
Okay. Well, I just went the gold bracelet method because it was easy to do and I could continuously watch my soaps. I had a lot of soaps to catch up on over the years. Oh yeah, the Citadel Loom, but I don't think he's part of any Citadel that I know of. But the Citadel has a way where you can train crafting up a little bit. It's quite, I don't know, it takes 3 hours, but yeah, it is long. That's a little quick way to do it, and you did do get the clan kit to give you XP and in crafting if you wanted to. My only suggestion is if you are making gold bracelets, never ever 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 sell it under 220 GP each. You do that, you are losing money.
Yeah, because you can trade them in to the rogue and Varrock, who will give you a low elk price, which is 220 GP.
Mm-hmm. So if you sell on the exchange, do sell it for more. The highest I did once was 250 each. That was quite nice.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know why it went up, but it did. It's like, okay, I don't know why. I think people bought it because it was easy to high elk and make a little bit of profit off of it. But that's my guess. And so, you know, air battle staff is good if that's your chosen method. I didn't use it because at the time, I didn't really come to all the Varrock achievements, and I didn't. You know, you can only get so many battle staffs at once.
Yeah, 100 per day if you've done everything, and that's a major stumbling block. So, I mean, that's a decent amount, but still, you want to go at a reasonable pace. That's why I'm actually looking at doing blue dragon hides. It's more expensive, but if you have the money, why not? It's nice and quick. I'm just going to level 90, and I made some money back when I was doing my prayer, so why not use that money that was going to be put into prayer for something else? So, that's the plan.
Yeah. I didn't bother with Dragon Hides because I kind of saw a way of making money. And what's good about gold bracelets is, you know, it's easy, it's low maintenance. You just make it and just kind of do whatever heck you want at a time. And yeah, the best place I did it was in Nine Inch Knot, because you have
no,
a
it's left. Not.
Yes, it. Yeah, it is. I am not cheap.
Yes, yes, he is.
No, I am not. I just didn't feel like doing dragon hides and losing on money because at the time I was that goddamn poor broke.
All right.
Lord Rickles, I am going to grab my dagger and stab it so far down your throat that it's going to go through both carotid arteries.
Whoa, violence much? All right. Thank you, veteran, for that question. Next one's from Duke Juker.
Okay, this one's from Duke Juker, dear host. A few questions this week. Most of them were short and quick. First, do you think the Inferno ad should be updated to be the equivalent of a dragon pickaxe in addition to being equivalent to a dragon hatchet? Second, I'm going to see the new Superman movie, Man of Steel, this weekend. My question for you guys is, who is your favorite superhero and why? Third, how would you feel if Dragons did a global wipe of everyone's account and had everyone start off from scratch? Would you be in favor, neutral, or opposed to the idea? How do you think most of the community will react? And lastly, Do you think any skill should be updated to confer better advantages at higher levels in 99 in particular? For example, should 99 woodcutting give double the logs when cutting or allow for much faster woodcutting of expensive logs like yew and magic bows? Thank you, Dujigger. Okay.
It would be nice to have the adds upgraded to be a hatchet, a dragon hatchet. But at the same time, we got to remember that the adds, or I mean a dragon pickaxe, but we got to remember that the adds came out before that. And, I mean, the adds already does so much already, so it doesn't make sense to have it do so much. And in the wide variety of cases when you're woodcutting, I mean, I don't know anybody who has used the adds to get a good amount of fire making XP while doing woodcutting. I know most people who likes woodcutting end up using a hatchet, a dragon hatchet, because it is a little bit faster.
Well, you also did this to where you supposed to have gotten this from lighting up all the beacons to get it, and it's a multi-purpose tool, and it would be nice. I mean, then if you have one that is the equivalent, you don't need to worry about dragon stuff in your tool belt, the dragon hatchet or whatever in your tool belt. But then again, if you have it in your tool belt, you don't really need to worry about it, do you?
Yep.
So
that's right.
Should it be an equivalent? I guess if you have 99, if you have a high level fire making, it's like an add on reward, and at the very end of some huge elite achievement, then sure, you know, why not?
Okay. Second one.
Let's see. Who's your favorite superhero, Shane? And can't beat Picard.
I don't have any.
Really? Seriously? No,
I don't like superhero movies.
I didn't say superhero. Just said superhero. Come on. How could you hate Batman?
I've never seen it.
I know. I said, how could you hate Batman?
I don't know. I just said I don't have a favorite.
Okay. Batman's always good. Batman's a good superhero. About justice and revenge. He is in the eyes of many kids.
You know, that sounds like me. I like justice. Who would you recommend for justice and law and order type thing?
Justice League.
Oh. Okay, well, that's
Charles Xavier. Yeah.
Who is that?
Charles Xavier is the, let's see. He is the leader of the X-Men, the voice of the people and voice of mutants.
I see.
Instead of believing that we should destroy the world in our image, he wants to make peace with the humans and mutants.
Oh, well, that's a noble goal.
Mm. Oh, yeah, I forgot.
The guy who played Picard played him.
Yeah, Jean-Luc Patrick Stewart also played Charles Xavier in the X-Men movies.
All right. Number three, account wipe.
We did that already. It was called 07.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, it wouldn't make sense to have an account wipe. I definitely don't think that's a good idea for Jagex to do. Definitely opposed to this idea.
But you would love to be able to do like an 99 farming again.
Yeah, I would, but not at the expense of everything I put into this account. So.
Hey, you want to do that? It's called 07.
No, 07's too painful.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
9 is not.
Yeah, if anybody didn't realize, that's just a play on words that Ned is not, no it's not, and yeah, it is so. Anyways.
Okay.
Additions at level 99?
I think it would be a good idea to get something to do with their cape. A couple of people here, like Lord Rickles and Brian, who are listening in, they suggested that the cape actually does some more things, such as teleport you to a certain location. Shane was suggesting Rocktail Cavern. You have to catch yay many... You have to catch so many fish in order to charge it up, and that's how you kind of get it.
Yeah, I think that'd be acceptable, and that was a div that suggested that before in Take One. So, another thing that they could do, you know how fishing currently has the agility bonus for double fish or whatever, that kind of thing would be good, or thieving mm-hmm. has that, and the one-handed fishing. It'd be nice to see that in some of the other skills. I don't know about woodcutting getting double logs, because that's what that aura does. So I think the only benefit would be to see a higher progression rate as to how many logs you can cut in a certain amount of time when you get 19 rather than just 99 rather than getting double. Because at level 99, woodcutting magic logs are still painfully slow, yet they actually have a use now in the world as for bonfires if people want crazy fast fire-making XP. So it'd be nice to see magic logs be chopped faster. But also remember that in last week's Behind the Scenes article, they said that stuff coming this year would be new foliage around, so new trees to cut and whatnot. So we could indeed be seeing more trees at higher levels to cut. So that'll definitely throw a whole new dynamic into woodcutting. So there's that as well.
Yeah. And also we also get the double pickpocket. We also got the double pickpocket if you have the agility and the thieving level from different victims, I would say.
Yep.
So in a way, there is a small... There is a, what's the word, small benefit of getting 99, but it's still relatively small. You're really just doing it for the glory of getting a 99.
Yeah. And you know that, like they did with the EOC update, where you have a higher level in, say, strength or your attack, the difference between 90 and 99 is noticeable. I'd like to see that sort of thing come with woodcutting and fishing and mining. Definitely, because they do increase, but I don't think they increase as much as they should be increasing.
Yeah, especially with Rocktails, I time myself a little bit. I don't see me going any faster, even with the boost. Sharks, on the other hand, not as much either.
Yep. All right. Thank you, Duke Juker. That's your best friend, isn't it?
Sure, he's a fellow Oregonian.
No, he's from Washington. Hey, anyways, this next one's from Flash. Dear host, is it more efficient to do your magic shield bows to 99 fletching? I know magics are faster, but they're also more expensive and more of a loss. I don't have too much money, so I was wondering what you guys would recommend that I train with. From Flash. Well, what I did is I put together a Grand Exchange portfolio of this setup. And now... basically, you are right in that the magic longbows or shield bows or whatever you want to call them these days are too expensive. You can make a slim profit doing U shield bows. The U log is 528 GP. So you got 528. The bowstring is 120. So that puts you up to 648 GP. And the, Nature Rune to High Alg is 114. So that brings you up to about 662, and you get 762, and you get 768 for High Alging. So you make about 6 GP per bow. Granted, it's a tiny profit, but it's almost revenue neutral. So if I was you, I would just stock up on the U... logs and bowstrings and do it that way. That's what I did way back when I got 99 fletching. It's certainly fast enough. So, in my view, that's a perfectly fine way of doing it.
Okay. Magic to fletching, you have more experience with this than I do. I just fletch the maples that I get from the kingdom.
Yeah, that's another way of doing it as well. But I'd say go with the yews. It's it's best faster. Benefit between speed and cost. So I hope that works out for you, Flash. All right, last question was sent in from a div in Take One. You want to give us a read?
Okay, after EOC, there were a lot of fixes. Now we have the interface and RS3 update on the way. Not to mention a new skill on the horizon. Is Jackass trying to do too much at once? I don't believe they're doing too much at once. I believe they're on track. You kind of remember that Jackass did make a lot of money from Squeals and Solomon and members and advertisement. I think they've expanded a lot more people, more staff, so they can do more projects at once. They can do more projects at once rather than having enough people do one project, and then after they're done, go on to another one, and so on and so forth. So it's kind of good, multidisciplinary groups doing different projects at once and releasing them at specific time periods. Okay.
Yeah. I think that it's something that needs to be worked on carefully, because look at what happened with the evolution of combat last year. Not even a couple months ago, we're still seeing major changes to EOC. So if anything, I'd say the beta testing process needs to be better, because the evolution of combat beta just did not work. So the RS3 beta testing program hopefully is working better, because I mean, you can beta test all you want, but when it comes down to it and it's released to the public, there's still going to be major issues that are happening. So I think I agree with the div here that maybe there should be a bit more of a gap between RS3 and the new skill, just to make sure that everything is smoothed out beforehand.
Okay.
Because, just remember what happened when construction came out. That was an update that wasn't beta tested at all, and that's what led to the Falador Massacre in June 2006. So even if things are beta tested, maybe something like that could have been avoided. So definitely I think that putting a bit more time into these things would be a good thing.
Okay. Shoot. Shame.
All right.
Yes. So, well, anyone's here? Does anyone have any comments or questions? I got Brian, Lord, Momska. Anyone? You guys want to say anything? Questions? Comments? Nope. You really want me to? Sure. Go ahead, Maromska. You're here. Yeah, Shane. Let's. What is your peeing stance? I think that's a little PG-13.
Yeah, no, thank you. We won't answer that one. So with that being said, no, Brian, you're not going to whip that whip one up. You had 2 hours to whip one up by now. So with that being said, we're going to move on to tech news right now. So this week was Apple's Worldwide Developers Conference.
Oh, Apple Conference? Yay?
Yeah, did you pay any attention to this?
No, why would I? I don't care for Macs.
Apple announced OS X Mavericks. They also announced iOS 7, Apple Radio, and MacBook Airs. And one thing that Maremska seems overly happy about is a new Mac Pro. So I'm going to start at the top, and I'll eventually get to the Mac Pro. You'll just have to remind me about that when I get there, Maremska, just in case I forget. But Mavericks is OS X 10.9. It's named after a surfing location in Northern California called Mavericks. Basically, there's a good amount of changes underneath the hood for this that developers are going to be interested in. It just modernizes the OS a bit. It's evolutionary rather than revolutionary, which is what we come to expect these days. So, anybody have any? You have any question about Mavericks right now?
No.
Okay.
Kind of nothing.
Yeah, but basically, it's going to be an OS that focuses on power efficiency, based on battery life and whatnot. So, but then there's also iOS 7, which is a complete graphical redesign of the OS. First time since it's actually shipped. So, back in 2007. I'm a fan of this iOS 7 design. I don't know how anybody else feels. Anybody seen iOS 7?
Maromska.
Maromska, what do you think? What about you, Brian? What do you think? Looks what like, is MIUI?
MIUI?
Oh, it's a custom ROM for Android, apparently. Anyways, lots of stuff in iOS 7 based on transparency and whatnot. I'm definitely looking forward to it because, you know, since 2007, that's 6 years right now. So, I mean, it's definitely time for a change. And yeah, you know, it kind of did look like Aeroglass, but it looked like an Apple version of Aeroglass. So I was talking to some people and they said, you know, it kind of looks like the Microsoft Windows Phone OS. I said, yeah, that's what I thought too. It's what Windows Phone OS would have looked like if Apple designed it, which is true, I think. So there was also Apple Radio, which is a Pandora-type solution from Apple. It'll sit in iTunes. It's free. But if you have iTunes Match, it'll be free with no ads. Essentially, what happens is you can create a music station based on a certain genre of music or a certain album. Then it'll put music in that's related to that. And then if you like something, you can just buy it straight from the iTunes store, which is ultimately their goal with this.
Mm-hmm.
And also the new MacBook Air, which is just a next step up. And the benchmarks are actually showing that you can get about 10 hours or so of battery life, maybe a bit more on a single charge. So that's something that's definitely welcome.
Cool.
All right. Now the Mac Pro. I didn't mention this in take one, but Maremska, thank you for reminding me about the Mac Pro. Essentially, what this new Mac Pro is it's an update to that computer for the first time in almost 3 years. It's their Pro machine, so meaning it's going to be out of the price range of almost everyone. But essentially, what they do is it is a design based on a circular cooling tower in that the components are around the edge of a cylinder. And then the system takes air up through the bottom and then ejects it out the top, thereby cooling the hardware inside. Now, some people have said it looks like a trash can.
Does it?
Well, yeah, it kind of does. What? A black ladybug? That's kind of odd.
Beats me.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's see, the new Mac Pro. Here we go. Here's Apple's website for people that have not seen it. But, yeah, looks pretty nice. And one major thing about this is that it's going to be assembled in the U.S., which is the first time Apple's done that in quite some time.
That's good.
Yeah, but it is a revolutionary design, the way they did this. So it's It's also got dual GPUs as well, and 6 Thunderbolt ports.
That's a lot of ports.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty amazing for the amount of horsepower this thing's going to have. It would be nice to have one, but you know, the iMac works just fine.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you want to tell us about E3 now?
E3, Apple good, we good, Sony good, Microsoft sucked.
So what did Microsoft do?
You mean what didn't they do?
Okay, anything what didn't was they wrong? Do?
And they're trying to make a home entertainment system, but they're showcasing it in an area that's designed for gamers. E3 is for gamers, not for the phone, not the, you know, consumer electronics show.
And I think that's what people are upset about, right? Is that
what, besides the fact that it sucks, and that it's basically on par with NSA, and the fact that you can say over while you're playing Call of Duty, you can just scream out over the speaker.
Oh, you can unplug the Kinect.
Yeah, no, but here's the other thing. Since you're playing, it has to be connected at all times, and it's all the voice control thing. I'm waiting for some trolls to be running around COD 4 going, Xbox off! Xbox off! No!
Well, that's why you use a headphone for voice. Anyway.
But it's actually, if I was a parent, I would do that. Xbox off! No! No! No!
There was also the debacle of Microsoft at E3 saying that, yeah, you're going to be able to use used games, but you're going to have to pay if the developer wants you to pay. Whereas Sony comes out and they say, no, you can use used games or borrowed games just as you want. So I think people are definitely agreeing with Sony's stance on this one. But this just comes back to the same thing. What is wrong with PC gaming? I mean, consoles are consoles, and people are always going to buy them. The biggest market for consoles is... What's the biggest...
Preteens.
Yeah, and because the parents are going to pay for it, right?
Of course, their parents are going to pay for it. Of course they don't care for it. But, you know, the thing is that... you know, they're showcasing a lot of the good games that are coming out for the Xbox, which is great, but it's also one of those people that's like, people are now complaining, oh, I'm not going to buy it, it's stupid, it's bad, etc., and then suddenly they release the, you know, next Halo game. Oh my god, I must buy it to play this one game! And they forget all the faults. And that's ultimately what's going to happen again. You know, our generation are all short-sighted. But, you know, that's, one of the issues with it, and you know, you remember a couple of years ago when they had the, Left 4 Dead 2 boycott,
right?
And people were saying, don't buy it. It just made Left 4 Dead 1, and just make money, etc. And they're trying to boycott it. What happened on the day it got released? It became one of the best selling games of all time. And most people attributed that to. So people attributed that to, you know, free advertisement. They didn't spend any money advertising. It was like, oh, why do you hate this game? They just released it. But you ended up buying it. Well, yeah, but that's beside the point.
Yeah. So, I don't know. That seems to be the way the gaming world works. I mean, gamers seem to be like that, and there's no changing that.
Mm-hmm. I said I no longer care about consoles, and I've been pretty adamant about it because I don't feel like buying all those games, a system for that. And you know, one good thing about PC, it's always backward compatible.
Yeah, but unfortunately, sometimes that's a mixed blessing. As an example, in Star Wars. I mean,
Star Wars. Oh wow! No. Cool.
StarCraft. People are running around with computers from like 10 years ago that can't even run the damn game. I mean, there's got to be a limit in somewhere in gaming. Console gaming goes too far. But I would like to see a limit that prevents these kind of people with crappy computers from playing games and detracting from my experience and lagging things up.
Okay, then what you do, you just create your own private server of super high rigs who, you know, can do everything that you want.
Yeah.
You can start, you can do that. But, you know,
what about Blu-ray and all the features you can't use outside the USA? Well, Blu-ray is pretty much standard now. What features are you referring to? I'm not entirely up with this, Marumska. Just reading from chat right now. For those of you guys listening after the fact. Oh, Netflix. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I'm sure you wouldn't be able to use the TV stuff as well with that, so it's practically still just a game console for you. But, well, that's...
But you know,
with time, I'm sure that would come.
But the problem with Microsoft is they're trying to make it as a home entertainment system for the whole family. And the thing is, those who are going to buy this for the whole family, they already got a Wii U. That's already been out. So, you know, and those who have who want that, they already got a Wii. And, you know, oh, mom, dad, come play the Wii. It's from Nintendo. Then I go, mom, it's from Microsoft. What's Microsoft?
And also not to mention that the Wii games are easier to get the Famula in. Family, not Famula.
All you really need are some extra controllers, and, you know, it's a win-win. We're still waiting for a developer to make, like, Dungeons and Dragon type game for the Wii, where the one with the holding the giant Wii controller looks like the grandmaster. That would make can you imagine if there was a Pokemon thing for the Nintendo Wii? You could do that.
Yep.
It's like the person would design the Pokemon layout and bosses you would fight, and you had to have your own little custom adventure. Dude, that would print money.
Yeah, it would.
That would print much money.
And back to the original point. The Wii U is the family console. It's the console that most people have the most fun with, I think. Whereas the Xbox and the PS4 are going to be the gamer consoles, even though PC gaming is where it's at.
Mm-hmm.
And the Steam Box.
Steam Box, yeah, it's going to be interesting when it comes out.
Yep.
If it comes out, or should I say, it will be released when it's ready.
Yeah, well, they are working on it, so it will be out. Mm. All right. Next up, Project Balloon.
There was one other thing on E3 I wanted to mention.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so you know, a couple of games. They did showcase a couple of new games that are coming out. One I'm really excited for. Guess which one it is, Shane?
What?
Guess it. Guess.
The Star Wars game.
Gosh, that's painful.
Oh, Star Wars Battlefront 3 is coming out in September. Oh, I'm going to be so excited. That was a great game. I hope they keep up the good work, but we'll see what happens with it. Also excited for Mirror Edge 2 is coming out. Smash Brothers, what is it, 4 now, I think. All I know is Smash Brothers.
Oh, that'll be one.
Out.
I'm always a fan of the Smash Brothers type games.
I was okay with it. It wasn't great. I was okay. But you know what's
all right.
What's so that's basically it. I'm happy over that. So I'm gonna be burying myself in the closet for a while. No.
All right. Now. Project Balloon, balloon-powered internet access. So, reading from this post, the internet is one of the most transformative technologies of our lifetimes. But for 2 out of every 3 people on Earth, its fast, affordable connection are still out of reach. And this is far from being a solved problem. There are many terrestrial challenges to internet connectivity. Jungles, archipelagos, mountains... There's also major cost challenges. So what Google's done is they put together this thing called Loon. Now, Loon is a project to give internet to areas that don't have it. It will deliver 3G network speeds or faster, so that's acceptable. The balloons will also float through the atmosphere at stratospheric levels, so that's about double the height of a jet airliner. So that's pretty high up, about 60,000 feet, give or take. Also with this, basically the idea is that the world will be covered by these things, and then pretty much anywhere you are, if you have a subscription to this, you'll be able to access the internet. So if you're in a rural area, that'll work just fine for you. And the interesting thing about this is that Google's actually beta testing this with a pilot program in the Canterbury area of New Zealand with 50 beta testers. And this is also the first time that Google's launched this many balloons, about 30 of them or so. So they're going to be testing this out and seeing how it works and what happens with the balloons and whether or not the technology is reliable enough. And if you look at this, at the picture here, you can actually see where the balloons went when they were launched based on the winds. And the area of service that they provided, which is pretty large when you look at it.
Yeah, so a true World Wide Web.
Yeah, and the thing is going to be, oh, no internet connection, connection going down. I guess we just got to wait for another balloon to come into range.
This actually reminds me of when I was back in college. I had a friend who was living, who used to drive to school. He lived about an hour and a half away from school, so he commuted mm-hmm. every other day or so. He lived in a small rural area. The problem was his internet, his ISP really, really, really sucked. The problem was they were basically the only ISP in his small area. Well, what's kind of sad about it was the fact that the company who was in the area basically said, "You're not even in our budget. We don't see us coming down to your place anytime soon to do anything." And they were the only group.
Yeah, so that's what happens.
Mm-hmm. So it was kind of, you know, sad in a way. You can't get anything decent because you're not our problem. They basically say you're not our problem.
Yeah, and that's what Google's been wanting to prevent. First with localized wireless internet through that WiMAX technology, which never really took off. And then free Wi-Fi in places. And now we got this, the balloon project. So definitely commend Google for this.
Yeah. Sadly, San Francisco, the idea of having free city Wi-Fi kind of broke down. Couldn't reach an agreement anyway.
Yeah. Well, maybe the balloons will come and fix that.
No, if a Google Fiber comes around this area, I'm sure Comcast will jump on the bandwagon really quick.
Yeah, because that would be taking money away from them. So.
Yeah, I know Montefiore has free Wi-Fi, but it's not that great. There was a McDonald's that I like went to every once in a while and to kind of get away from the house. Their Wi-Fi sucked so bad I had to use the Mountain View Google Wi-Fi. That was the only way I could get internet.
Really?
Yeah, it was okay, but it wasn't great. No, their Wi-Fi at that location sucked. Just would not work for whatever reason.
Ah, okay.
It's not with me. Savvy?
All right. Well, I think that's it for tech news, unless there's anything else we want to discuss with this.
Hopefully, you know, competition is good. Competition is always good. Hopefully what Google is doing with Google Fiber and everything else would actually get other companies to actually join the bandwagon instead of trying to rip people off.
Yep. All right. All right, the skill of the month update. It's the mining skill of the month, and being halfway through the month, a div has literally blown away the competition. He is currently in first place with 6.1 million experience gained. Then in a distant second, I say that not in a demeaning way, but as a matter of fact, Parnassius has 725,000 experience gained. Third place is Flash with 708,000. And then fourth, we got Muramska with 536,000. And then in fifth place is Lord Rickles with 489,000.
Yes, and according to him, he was just going using Living Rocks Cavern, mining gold and coal the whole time. Jeez, that's a tongue twister there.
Yep. So we'll probably give an honorable mention to the second place person in this month, since it's so far away here that it's pretty much a guarantee that a div will win. So keep going, everyone, nonetheless. Just remember that your experience you gain is tracked for skill of the year at the end. Whoever gains the most XP wins a nice little competition then, too. All right. Okay. Achievements of the week.
Achievements of the week. Okay, we have KenJTH2003 who got 99 summoning on June 9th. Yeah, that's it.
Yay! And also?
Also what?
What's the other one we got?
What, you mean that? Oh, I didn't see that one. You made the text so small. We have Shane120. Is that 08 or 88? I can't tell anymore.
Oh.
We got Shane12088 who got 99 prayer on June 11th. Congrats, Shane.
Yep. And good work to KJTH as well.
Yeah, so anyway, we have a little picture. Well, we have a little picture on RuneWire of Shane getting the 99. Thank you, Earth, for letting Shane kill you to get the bone.
Yep. We did that on Tuesday with the after the PC gaming event. A bunch of people were there. So thanks to everybody for coming, and that was a good deal of fun. All right. Mm. So, time for Pick of the Week. This is an application for iOS. There's also an Android version as well, but the Android version doesn't have as good of a UI as the iPhone version. It is the Yahoo Weather application. It won an Apple Design Award this year at the Developers Conference. Essentially what it is a full screen weather application with nice clean typography, and of course focusing on full screen is something that Apple is going for in iOS 7, so of course it makes sense they give the design award to this one because that's the one that they want to highlight. So essentially what happens is it pulls a picture from Flickr of the current city, if it can find one. It also if you scroll down, it shows a 7-day forecast, which you can scroll through to become a 14-day forecast eventually. It also has more details about the current weather out there. It's also got access to weather maps. So let's say you want to watch the radar or something, you can do that. It's also got wind and sun and moon information. So right now here in Edmonton, it's sun rises at 5:01 a.m. and sets at 10:03 p.m. Long day.
Long day.
All right. So that's iOS weather from Yahoo. It's free. You can grab it. Enjoy.
Okay. That would what? Okay, peace, sleep, past sunrise.
All right. So, what have you been doing?
What I've been doing? Well, I've been slaying most of the week to try and get something, but it hasn't worked out. I did a bunch of dragon stones that came in. I made a good chunk of money from those. I got myself a woodcutting level, got myself to 91 woodcutting, and I got a... What was the other thing that I got? What was the other thing? I got something. I can't remember what it was. Oh, I'm working on 90 thieving. I got 89 a couple of days ago.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I need to see one more. I can finish off ports.
Oh. Good luck with that. As for me this week, I've just been investigating various methods to train to 90 crafting. I'm level 88 right now. I am leaning towards the blue dragon hide bodies. But aside from that, I just got the 99 prayer this week. And that's about it.
Okay.
Anything else we ought to mention before we go?
You talk about a survey?
Oh, remember to take our survey. Right. The listener survey, we're still running that. This will probably be the last week we'll mention it. But if you want to help us out and give us a general direction of where we're going for the next year, that would be great. Just fill this out. It's anonymous. You can write in whatever you want. And we also use it to determine what our demographics look like for the show. Are we largely combat focused? Are we largely skilling focused? Are we a group of veterans, or are we new players? That sort of thing.
Okay.
All right. And with that being said, we'll see you next week, everyone.
Bye.